Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
And I want to get into this, this Buckeye pledge, and no better way to jump into that than did you guys see the Ian Rappaport tweet from just moments ago? Says several Cowboys players and several Texans players have tested positive for COVID-19 recently, sources tell me, and Tom Pelissero. None of the players are believed to have been in the team facilities. The teams followed proper health protocols. Chris, it seems like it's going to be so difficult with so many players in such close quarters in a physical game to keep these guys safe for long periods of time when they return to football.
It's going to be hard, Dave. I mean, we're certainly on the other side of the pandemic in New York City, but as we start to open up the country and start to come in proximity to one another, once we do away with the quarantining at home, you are going to run the risk of transmission of the virus, and we're starting to see that with athletes at high levels of sport. We saw that with the players down at Alabama and Oklahoma State, I believe it was. And so I think that this is another one of those inevitabilities. Players in the NFL testing positive, it's just a matter of now, what are the protocols that are in place that isolate the players and keep everybody else with the organization safe? That's the only question that remains to be seen. I know the NFL sent out a 9-page memo to the teams, and John Harbaugh said on Friday that what they're asking them to do
is
impossible. But the NFL is going to have to find a way to be able to try to keep everyone as safe as they possibly can, because you're going to have to deal with somebody testing positive for COVID-19. The question is, can they do a good enough job of isolating that player so that doesn't become a problem for the entire team?
Well, there is no perfect solution, right? Unfortunately, in situations like the NFL is going to be in, it won't be, NBA and NHL will be in the bubble cities and everything else. But, I mean, you're at the mercy of the players and what they do from the time they leave the facility. I mean, you have no idea. I mean, you can, like, in the NHL, you'll test the night before, and then before you get to go to the rink, you'll find out if you're positive or negative. Negative, you know, you go to the rink, positive, you have to quarantine. Yeah, I don't know if that's going to be the case. I can't imagine that's going to be the case in the NFL. You're going to test these guys every single day before they get to the facility?
I think they're going to have to, Rick. I don't know any other way that they could keep everybody safe, because if you got one guy in that locker room that has it, and he's in, you know, the showers and the meeting rooms and the practice field with other teammates, then you're going to spread it to other guys. So, I mean, the safest thing that they can do is to try to prevent guys that are infected with the virus from even coming into the building. And to me, that would mean that you have to test guys before they actually get into the building. I know when you have training camps, most of these guys are in hotel rooms or dorm rooms. I mean, you have to wake them up early at 5 o'clock in the morning to test them, and then try to turn the test around so they could be a participant in 8 or 9 o'clock meetings. If that's what you got to do, then that's what you got to do. But I don't know any other way that you can keep everybody in the facility safe if, in fact, you're dealing with somebody that has a positive test.
It's going to be virtually impossible. Exactly. I mean, really, when you start talking about, I mean, what is it, 90 players? Maybe it might end up being more now. They'll have to expand the rosters, you think, a little bit.
And coaches.
Yeah, I mean, people at the facility. I mean, people that work at the facilities. I mean, you remember when we go to these, you know, training camps and do our shows, how many people
they pop out of the woodwork.
Yeah, it's a lot of people going back and forth to their houses and everything else. I mean, going to dinner. I mean, that's that you're trusting a lot of people to do the right thing. And if anyone's, you know, ventured out to the grocery store and everything else, not everyone's doing the right thing at the moment. I mean, did you see the woman that purposely coughed on the woman with the mask
God.
On?
Oh, God. That was awful. And they still served her, though.
It's crazy. I mean, it's craziness. I mean, some of the stuff you see, you can't even believe. But no, I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, you've seen it now with college football. It happened with Houston. I mean, they had
University of Houston, right? They had 6 guys test positive.
I mean, I guess the one positive thing is that the more guys that get it before the season start and get through it and create the antibodies, the less guys you have to worry about getting it during the season.
I guess, but you're still going to have huge amounts of people that haven't been exposed to it, and then they're going to be exposed.
The more you read about COVID and how it affects certain people and blood type, and you know, and now it looks like it could be more vascular. I mean, and I said this the entire time, football is the sport that scares me the most. God forbid the worst case scenario happens, because you're talking about humongous guys, a lot of guys that are overweight that I feel like may not necessarily handle COVID-19 as well as other people, regardless of how good a shape they're in.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well,
I completely agree, Rick. And then you got the underlying health issues that guys aren't aware of, especially kids at the collegiate level. I mean, you just wonder, you know, is it the right thing to do to have these guys to return as quickly as we've had without having better treatments available or even a vaccine available? Is that the right thing to do to put these kids at this type of risk?
Well, yeah, this whole Buckeye Pledge thing, it feels dirty to me.
Let's get into it. Let me read a little bit about it, and then you can certainly comment off of it. And this is on the heels of the Cowboys and the Texans having guys test positive. So Gene Smith, the AD for Ohio State, confirmed that this, in fact, is true. It's called the Buckeye Pledge. ESPN obtained a copy of it, and other media outlets did as well. It asks players to, quote, help stop the spread of COVID-19 and accept I may be exposed to COVID-19 and other infections by signing a pledge that waives any rights that I might have in the future. Any failure to comply with my Buckeye pledge above may lead to immediate removal of athletic participation privileges and or the inability to use any athletic facilities. This is for kids? Guys, I don't know. Rick,
not just for kids, Dave. It's for their parents, too. Their parents have to sign off on it as well.
I mean, how do you sign this if you're a parent?
Because you're talking about kids that want to go back and play.
I get it.
I had one kid on my high school hockey team ask his parents to fly him down to Florida so he could get on the ice. That's how desperately he wants to get on the ice. I mean, that's what we're talking about. These kids want to play. The school realizes they want to play. And the reality is these schools, these commissioners of college teams, conferences, professional sports, really have no idea what the long-term ramifications of
no
exactly. of you getting COVID-19 are.
No, exactly. So sign away every right you have, and come play football for us at Ohio State.
Yeah, because we don't want to get sued.
We don't want to get sued. If something were to happen to these kids, if they were to have long-term health effects, or God forbid one of these kids dies from COVID-19, you nor your parents can come after us. That's what we're saying. And we're gonna hide it behind the guise of, we want you to pledge to do everything that you can to keep yourself as safe as possible, but we also want to make sure that you're here working toward getting ready for the season, because we need you to generate hundreds of millions of dollars for the University of Ohio State.
Did you see that Gene Smith said, well, we call it a pledge because it's more for educational purposes than it is for any liability purposes, in fact.
Yeah, but why do your parents need to sign it? Well, I mean, what do you? You can't sign your own pledge when you get to the school. Then you have your first team meeting. Like, here's the things you're going to need to be. Here's the things we're going to need you to do to make sure you keep your teammates and yourself safe.
It's got to be a CYA. It has to be.
Why else would you make the parents sign it?
That's all it is.
But that's what all these plans are. It's all these leagues. It's all CYA. Knowing the entire time that we can only make it as safe. We can't make it 100% safe. So guys will get sick. And we want to make sure that down the line, if God forbid there are long term effects, that you're not going to come back and sue us for it.
Which you would anyhow.
Well, you would try to.
Of course. But I mean, if you're signing the pledge or not, you're still going to go after them legally.
No, you're right. But with professional sports, you kind of have an understanding, okay, there's a risk reward. The players are actually getting paid. With college sports, the players aren't getting paid. I mean, I get it. They have the scholarship, but they're not getting paid, and they're putting themselves at enormous risk by having this return to play without better treatment options available right now. I just don't see how this makes sense other than this being a money grab for the schools and for the bodies that govern big time college athletics.
It's exactly what it is. And we talked to Paul Feinbaum about it on I don't know, last week at some point. And I still understand why. And you asked him this, Rick, and why you can't push back the football season. It doesn't make more sense to play in February, March, April than it does to play in 2 months from right now?
Well, it's got to be money. I mean, you keep going back to it. It has to be money. And also the fear that, you know, your top players, because it's so close to the NFL draft, will decide not to play. They'll take the season and not play. Like, I mean, Trevor Lawrence will decide that, I mean, why would I risk it?
You know what it is, though, Rick? Rick, I'm sitting here thinking about it. college athletes need a separate body to protect their interests. Something separate from the NCAA and something separate from the colleges and universities. Because it's clear that those individuals aren't going to do what's in the best interest of the kids, or at least not the kids that are in revenue generating sports. They're going to do what's in the best interest of the bottom line. And that's not right. Somebody has to be looking out for these kids. And it's not just their parents, because their parents aren't as informed as they need to be.
Their parents don't know. Stop.
That's what I'm saying. Their parents don't know anything. So they have to have some kind of body that's looking out for their best interest, because it's clear that these colleges, these universities, and even the NCAA, they don't care about these kids. They don't. This is
so
obvious in Ohio State trying to get them to sign a waiver. That's the first thing I thought of. These people don't care about these kids. Not beyond them being able to make money for them. That's it.
No, I mean, you're talking about, I mean, let's go back too. I know baseball's been a mess, but remember, one of the proposals to the players was, you know, the finances and everything else. And oh, by the way, we're going to need all you guys to sign these waivers. And the players are like, whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
Hold up. Let's not get carried away. You don't give us the money we want. We're not absolving you from any further, you know, liability if we get sick and something happens to us. Stop.
And by the way, you think if Justin Fields, whatever, does anything, goes off campus, goes to a party, goes into a crowd of 500 people, that they're going to say, no, 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 you've broken the pledge, you're not starting quarterback against Michigan on Saturday? No way.
No, but it's putting the emphasis on the players in a situation where if you have, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, I wish I could go back to college. Cassie won't let me live on campus. I mean, one of the hardest situations to try to stay socially distanced would be on a college campus.
Of course.
At that age.
When you're 19 years old? There's no way
19
you can
years
do
old.
That.
No, I mean, you're talking about guys in the NBA are concerned about being away from their wives and girlfriends for 7 weeks. You want to now take a college kid playing on on the Ohio State Buckeyes and have him sign a waiver that's a pledge that he's going to socially distance himself? Come on, man. Stop. He ain't so, no, there's no way.
There's no way.
You see
the picture, I think it was in the Post, of the people packed at Central Park, adults packed into Central Park. You think you're going to get 18, 19, 20-year-old kids at Ohio State that they're going to do the right thing, all of them? There's no chance that that's going to happen.
Yeah, it's not going to happen, Dave. But that's why I always go back to what Rick says in these situations. Sometimes you got to protect the players from themselves. And when it comes to teenage kids and young 20-somethings, to put the onus on 100 of those kids to do the right thing in terms of the guidelines, CDC guidelines and protocols to prevent the spread of COVID-19 for, what are you talking about, 3-4 months? It's absolutely ridiculous. It's not going to happen. You can't get grown men to do that in professional sports. You're going to try to get kids to do that?
No.
It's not going to happen.
It's putting your head in the sand and hoping for the best.
And think about this.
The professional
athletes have almost limitless resources. These kids don't have resources to be able to isolate like that.
No.
They don't. So it seems disingenuous to ask them to sign this pledge. And what it really is them trying to absolve themselves of any responsibility or liability in terms of something happening to one of these kids. That's what this whole thing is all about. And I can't believe that it's not getting more headlines about it, because this is absolutely disgusting that Ohio State would do that to kids.
But come on. If I had told you any school, I wouldn't have told you what school it was. I said any school is going to do this. You would have guessed Ohio State probably with your first guess. This is a school that when this was all going on, it's like, well, not only will we play, we feel pretty confident we'll have 40 to 50,000 people at Buckeye Stadium.
How premature was that,
Dave? This is the narrative they're going to push forward.
Yeah, I mean, that was completely premature. And the fact that you were even discussing whether or not you were going to have fans in stands, you just almost made it seem like a foregone conclusion that you're going to make the kids come back and play. It's not right.
You know what it is, though, too? I mean, let's be completely honest here and be transparent. I mean, it's the realization from all these leagues that there's really, I mean, no good solution. So they want to put all these different, you know, procedures and everything else in place. So, you know, knowing the entire time that regardless of the rules or what you say, I mean, you see this in the KBO. I mean, it started off one way, and then the more you watch, you know, you see less masks, you see more high fives, you got pitchers putting their fingers in their mouth, is that players going to go back to what they always do?
It's hard, socially, Rick.
It's understandable. It's hard to do this continuously every single game, to not touch another person and to be socially distanced and to wear the mask. And it's hard. And those are pros. Those are 25, 30-year-old people. This is not kids on a college campus.
Well, no. So now to the point, though, in the point you guys and we've made, is that knowing this is now you have these crazy, like 127 pages or whatever it ends up being. I mean, NBA is going to be 127 pages. Like, have all these things you're supposed to do, knowing the entire time that guys aren't going to necessarily do it. So they're going to get sick. Someone will get sick. But you just want to make sure you cover all your bases so they can't turn around and hold you accountable.
That's exactly right.
That's all this is.
Yeah,
that's all these protocols are.
No, you're absolutely right, Vic. But when Gene Smith comes out and says that this is more for educational purposes than liability.
Stop it.
Come on, man. I mean, don't. Come on. We know what this is, man. We know what this is. I don't understand how you could think that this is okay to do that to kids. If it's in fact not about the liability, then don't ask him to sign a liability waiver. Just said this is the pledge. This is what we want. But we're you know what? We're willing to revisit any type of liability that we would have to address if something happens. If something happens, you know what? We're not going to say that this is all on the kids. You're making the kids absorb all the risks to restarting the sport. And for teenagers and young 20 somethings, that's not right.
It's the blame game. Now they can blame you. Well, here's the pledge. We told you what you should and shouldn't do.
So we're going to blame the kids for our greed. That makes great. That's perfect sense.
Yeah, we'll blame the kids and we'll blame the athletes.
But this should be no surprise. This is college athletics to begin with is comical. And now during this time, they can't handle this properly.
Yeah, Dave, but we're talking about life or death situations. You know what I mean? Like, this is real life or death. There are over 100,000 Americans that have died from COVID-19.
Well over.
That's what we're talking about. They're projecting that 140,000 people could be dead by the end of July. That's what they're saying. So this hasn't gone away. The social distancing has worked, but now that we're opening up the country, the transmission of the virus to more Americans is likely. And you're telling these kids that we're going to start playing football, and if you get the coronavirus, then it's up to you on whatever happens.
Yeah.
And that we're not going to be responsible for.
We wash our hands of it. Good luck.
Yeah, but what I never liked the entire time with this. And I mean, we'll get tweets and everything else. And I get it. I mean, I've looked at the numbers and everything else, right? I mean, you know, what age groups are have been most affected, you know, most casualties and everything else. That's fine. And that's, I think, what they lean on is that because of the age and the health and their athletes, they'll get through it, even if they get COVID-19. You know, they'll get through it. They'll be fine on the other end of it. First of all, no one's giving me any answers on the long-term ramifications. And second of all, I get the percentage is low, but I mean, all it takes is just one. It's going to take one. It's going to take one college football player. It's going to take one, you know, NHL player or NBA player or NFL player that has an underlying medical issue, whatever it ends up being, blood type or whatever, right? That dies. And then what happens? Then what do we do?
Do you shut down the sport? I don't know.
You can throw as many percentages as you want by me, but it's only going to take one.
And I'm not trying to be morbid, but isn't it hard to envision that something like that doesn't happen in any of the four major sports or collegiate or something?
Well, yeah, Dave, even if you just look at college football, you're talking about 100 kids in how many Division I programs? 120, 130?
Yeah.
Think about how many kids you're talking about. There is a strong possibility that one of those kids is going to have some ill effects due to infection of the coronavirus.
Then you put them in a tough spot.
You put them in an awful spot. It's terrible.
They're literally playing games, literally and figuratively, with people's lives. That's what's happening.
But and sadly, and we'll go to break and come back and get into observations and all that good stuff. Chris, it doesn't surprise me at all. It does not in the least does this surprise me.
What's surprising me, Dave, is that there's not more outrage about this.
Well, I mean, our platform, we discuss it, and that's really the best we can do. But it does not surprise me. And it's sad, and it sucks. It's ridiculous. It's embarrassing. Sign this waiver. If anything happens to you, that's on you.
The athletic director and the president of Ohio State, they should all be ashamed of themselves.
They should.
They should.
And good on Michigan. Because Michigan has taken the exact opposite stance this entire way through. We don't know what's going to happen. And we're not afraid to say that we don't know. Meanwhile, in Ohio, don't worry. You'll be at the game. You'll be tailgating. You'll be out there. And if something happens to the kids, well, they sign this waiver. We had Greeny on earlier, Mike Greenberg, who's hosting the Return of Sports, which is going to be on ESPN television and the ESPN app. And Rick, guess where else the Return of Sports will be tonight at 9 o'clock?
It has to be on 98.7 ESPN, no?
No, you're very smart. Yes, correct. So here's how it's going to work now. Carlin's going to go 7 to 9. 9 to 11 will be the SportsCenter special, The Return to Sports. And the guest list is really unbelievable. Gary Bettman, Roger Goodell, Rob Manfred, Adam Silver, Damian Lillard, Patrick Kane, Calais Campbell, Matt Ryan, and the list goes on and on and on. So that's 9 to 11 here on 98.7. And then at 11 o'clock, a special two-hour late night edition of Larry Hardesty, ESPN New York Tonight, which will take you from 11 p.m. to 1 a.m. So now you can consume it on television, on the app, on our airwaves. It's very, very simple. It's a beautiful thing, really.
Yeah, speaking of consuming, and I'm going to consume all of that. I fell off the wagon this weekend, man. Oh, right
like
off the
like
wagon.
What would
oh,
you do?
Just the chicken parm, man. Just too much.
You let
too much.
Go?
Yeah, I'm at the point. Like I've been tiptoeing the line where I was just like, you know what? I just had enough of this. And then it was this week. Cass pushed me right over the line today. This weekend, right
really?
Over. Yeah, it was too much.
You feel guilty or you feel okay?
Today I feel better, but the last couple of days I felt awful. Because I'm like you. Once it's sitting there and I take one bite. And then it's like, are we saving this? And she's like, no, it won't stay good. So now I got to eat it.
Yeah, you got to take one for the team.
Well, Ricky,
I get
unlike,
it.
Ricky, unlike Dave, you don't have to beat yourself up too much, man. I mean, listen, we understand that it's tough times right now, and sometimes you have to indulge.
Yeah, but now it's going to be tough to get this thing back on track. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, just get it back on track. You can have a few bad days and just get it right back on track.
I don't know, man. Once it hits your lips, though, the chicken
parm. This is what haunts me. Once I take that and I run with it, now you get in trouble. If you have a bad day or two or three, it's okay. It's not ideal. It's okay. But get back on.
Yeah, but I'm running with it. Like, this is not a jog. Like, it started on Friday, and it continued all the way through the weekend. It was chicken parm, then it was ribs, and then it was pancakes,
right,
and then it was waffles.
You've done it. You can't go back. You can't walk it back. You've done it. You've eaten these things. But better
than
yourself
myself,
now moving forward.
And then yesterday, I decided, like, late afternoon, after I gorged myself with pancakes and waffles, that the pineapple upside-down cake that Cassie had made wasn't going to be good today. It was going to go bad. So that had to be
oh, my God.
And I couldn't waste that.
And the kids won't eat these things?
No, that one the kids won't eat. That, for some reason, the kids won't eat that one. So that was just me. And then once I took a bite, I'm like, you know what? This is borderline. I don't think this is going to be as good tomorrow.
I don't think this is going to make it.
This is
going to
make it.
But, Rick, here's what I don't understand, man. You work out every single morning. Like, I feel like you should be able to indulge like this every now and again. You don't do this every day.
Yeah, but I'm plateauing now. Like, this, I'm
you're
showing
plateauing.
Yeah,
and you clearly feel guilty. You're using this as your platform to tell us. You're reaching out for help, really.
Man, I felt awful.
Yeah, I
yeah,
can
but
tell.
The, but the only thing in my mind now is how much I would love a chicken cutlet right in my face right now.
Oh,
that's all I'm thinking about.
Yeah, you've crossed over now. I know this. I wrote this book. Be careful.
You know the signs, Dave?
This is when you've given up, then this is what happens. And that's what he's done. I know what that's like.
I'm just saying right now, I don't know if you guys watch golf this week. I could be easily Bryson DeChambeau size here in the next 2 weeks.
Speaking of golf this weekend, Xander Schauffele's got to be eating his feelings right now,
oh,
right?
My goodness.
Dude.
Chicken cutlet, man.
I mean, what happened on 17? Have that thing lip out like that? What was it, a 3-foot putt?
You got a couple of those. That's how Berger ends up winning.
Yep.
That's brutal.
That was.
I didn't miss the fans. Did you guys miss the fans?
No.
No,
I didn't
not
miss
at
the
all.
Fans either.
Not for golf. You'll miss it for other sports, but not for golf.
Speaking of that, did you see New Zealand? Did you see they've had no new cases over the last 3 weeks, so they had 20,000 people for the rugby.
Really? Which is great.
The place was packed. People will come back. I'm not worried. People
of
are going to eventually come
of
back.
Of course they'll come back.
All right, David. It's your time.
First of all, hang on
what?
A second here.
What?
We didn't even play We didn't even play the open to observations, and I wanted to give one quick update surrounding our conversation from last segment of the Cowboys that have tested positive. Ezekiel Elliott is one of them. He has tested positive for COVID-19. So it is not going to pick and choose. It'll hit the the big stars here. All right.
Now, I wonder if Santiago looks at that as a positive thing or a negative thing.
He's got choice but to look at his positive, as long as he gets through it.
That's what I'm saying.
The antibodies.
I'm trying to figure out what's the positive.
That if he gets through it, well, he's healthy. Once he fights through it, you don't have to worry about him anymore.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry about Zeke missing a part of the season because he tests positive.
The questions I have is, when did this positive test happen? And if he did test it positive, considering he's been spending a lot of time working out and that party and whatever it is with Dak and other guys, you're like, how many other guys test positive, you know?
I told you that party was a bad idea.
You called it, Dave.
It's better than some of these other parties that we do stories about on observations. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, parties, not a good... Indoor parties, very, very bad idea. All right, now, Santi, now we're ready.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservations.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, here you go, fellas. Monday edition of Knobservations, and as we like to start off Knobservations, because Dave is the gladdest knight of the show, this is your time to shine, David, with your daily weather
report. The weather outside is weather.
All right, beautiful. Guys, it's not too hot today. 73 sitting right now, not to go higher than 74, really, and then into the in the early evening into the high 60s. So not too hot out there today. It's a pretty day. Nice day. A little cloud cover. Sunrise was at 5:20. Sunset, I mean, it's a long day. 8:28 tonight. Here's a beautiful stat. 0% chance of rain. Low humidity at 41%. Not windy at all. East northeast, 5 miles an hour. It is 73. It feels like 73. Zero precipitation. The barometric pressure, 30.4 and holding. Visibility, you can see for up to 10 miles right now. UV index, 8. Air quality sitting at 23, and the air quality is considered good. And there you have a Monday weather update.
Well done, David. Thanks. Well done.
Thank you.
And now the game that's sweeping the nation. Sweeping. A little bit of controversy on Friday. Little bit of controversy.
I don't know that there was controversy or more just questioning that you seem to clear up today.
Yeah, but I mean, for controversy. Controversy sells, Dave. Come on.
Okay. Yes.
So here we go.
Controversy, yes.
Another edition. Beautiful edition. And this is rules have changed now. Rules have changed. This is no longer if you go over, you lose, because Dave has used that to his advantage. He won last week. It is now just flat out closest to the time.
Closest?
I went to bed last night.
Okay. All right. I'll still let Chris start out.
Okay, I'm going to say it's a little on the later side, but not too late because he's got a big week ahead. So I'm going to go with Rick DiPietro going to bed last night at 7:51 p.m.
I love that 7:51 is late.
7:51. Boy.
Oh, man.
It's a Sunday. Maybe he slept a little later.
What percentage of kids go to bed that early, you think?
Zero. No child goes to bed. No child goes to bed at 7:51 or earlier, unless they're not well. I could play this one of two ways. It's a Sunday. My concern is that I get it wrong and then I hand control over to Chris for the week. I'm going to say you pushed the envelope a little bit last night. I'm going to go 7:52. Will be my guess.
Oh, listen, I like where your head's at. I mean, both of you guys also, I mean, realize Sunday, but what was on television? So 7:50 is usually late because of 30 for 30. It was even later.
Yes.
Real late.
Yes.
Real late.
Yes.
This was a 10:08.
Oh, Mike, you might as well have stayed up all night. 10:08.
I was a rager last night. Rager.
Oh, I don't understand why you just didn't record it and watch it in the morning like you do with everything else.
Because why did you turn it off at 10:08?
Because I didn't turn it off at 10:08. I had to go to the bath. I had to go finish up in the bathroom and then go back to bed. So it was 10:08. I said, as soon as the first hour was over, I said, that's it. I'll watch the next. I can't watch 2 hours in the morning. It's too much.
Okay.
So I split it up.
All right.
Just remember that for next Monday. Just remember that.
You stayed up late last night.
That was too much. I was burning the candle at both ends. I can't do that anymore. I'm too old.
All the way to 10:08. Yeah.
How about this one too? Speaking of the first, this is a good and bad start to the observations. So you know how I'm in-depth with the NFC South. Like, I'm dialed into Tampa, everything that's going on in Tampa. Like, I knew that Tom Brady was going to give Deion Sanders' son a workout days ago. Okay. That's how in tune I am with what's going on. Great part. This weekend was my father-in-law and my mother-in-law's 39th wedding anniversary. Here's where the knob comes in. What do you think that Doc did for his 39th wedding?
Oh my God. What do you think, Chris, that Doc did for the 39th wedding anniversary? It's probably not going to be great.
It's got to be something centered around sports, right?
So here's the thing. If he's going to bring it up to make such a point of it, he probably did something ridiculous. But Doc's a nice guy, and I think he's a somewhat thoughtful guy. So I can't imagine it's going to be awful. Rick, we think it's something sports related. Here's my guess. Season tickets to the Buccaneers.
Nope. Incorrect. He actually made his wife get up with him on a ladder and clean out the gutters.
No, stop it.
Oh, wow.
I swear to God.
That's what they did.
That's what they did, yeah.
The 39th anniversary is the gutter cleaning anniversary.
Yes. Welcome back. Very, okay. Very not well known, but yes, it is true.
Okay.
Clean the gutters for 39.
Did that happen in Florida? Yes, it did. That did happen in Florida.
Yes, in fact, it did. Did you see this story, by the way? Speaking of kind of good news, U.S. Yep. Open looks like they will start and play with no fans on August 31st.
Well, that could be good and bad. I mean, good news is that someone other than Roger Federer, maybe Djokovic and Nadal have a chance to win. But who knows? I mean, there's no
Federer. Federer's not going to play. Djokovic says he doesn't sound like he wants to come over and play, and Nadal has those same feelings. So you could, but at least we're going to have that level of tennis, which will be good.
What level is that, though, if those three aren't playing in it?
It's still, I mean, you're still going to get the elite players.
Yeah, I guess. But, I mean, on the men's side, that's...
But come on, throw me a bone here. If I'm going to get the U.S. Open in New York, that's good news on a Monday.
That's good news. Yeah, I mean, okay. that's definitely good news.
That's all I was saying.
Yeah, definitely good news.
Okay.
And Chris, by the way, I mean, you mentioned Xander Schauffele mm-hmm. being upset. How about friend of the show, Dave? We interviewed him. Colin Morikawa was in the playoff.
Oh.
Vicious lip out. Vicious.
Oh, that hurt, too.
Likeable. Vicious lip out. Very likable, by the way.
Really smart kid, too.
Yeah.
Gorgeous golf swing.
He's made every single cut since he's been on a tour.
Yep.
The kid's legit. You weren't there. I think you were on vacation when we interviewed him. Like, when I tell you likable, Canty, like, Dave and I love this guy.
Yep.
We got in trouble.
That's when Tiger walked right by us, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was at Liberty. That was a fun. It was actually a good time, except for the thunderstorm.
yes, that was not good.
All right, here we go. We'll start with did this happen in Florida? You ready for this one?
We're ready.
Man was in humongous trouble with authorities when they found on his lawn as lawn decorations old landmines and over 30 unexploded munitions scattered in his front yard as decorations.
As decorations?
As decorations, yep. Lawn decorations hung up on trees. There were 30 unexploded munitions scattered around the man's yard as decorations. Was a junk collector.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Big trouble.
No unannounced visitors.
Exactly right. Did that happen? Was this man's yard in Florida?
Oh, my goodness. No. No, it can't be. In fact, I'm gonna go one further. I'm gonna say it's not this country.
Really?
No, I don't think so.
What do you think, Canty?
I think if it was Florida, we would have heard about this by now in a much more tragic way. So, no, not Florida.
this would be like Halloween, giving out Halloween landmines for Halloween candy. Santiago, what do you think, Florida?
I had the same thoughts. You really want to say Florida right when you hear the story, but then you think logic takes over. One, how would a person be able to get their hands on all this stuff? And the second thing is, yeah, if something were to have happened on American soil, you would think it would end tragically. So, not Florida.
God, you guys are on fire. Dave can't go first anymore because Dave sets the tone, and you guys are just following Dave's lead because he's been on fire. That was not Florida, and Dave's right. This is Cambodia.
Cambodia.
Okay. Cambodia. Yeah,
that didn't have an American feel to it.
I can't point out Cambodia on a map.
Can you imagine that, though? Like walking in this guy's yard, and you're like, oh, this is beautiful, Decker. What is this? Oh, it's just land.
landmines. Yeah.
It's landmines. Just watch yourself.
Here, landmines.
All right, here's the next story. I'll give you one more. Did it happen in Florida? Because I was gone on Friday. For 10 years, a 65-year-old man has been tormented by a constant stream of pizza deliveries. He said, I can't sleep anymore. I start shaking every time I hear a scooter or car outside on the street. I dread that someone's going to come drop off hot pizzas yet another time.
Wait, how many pizza deliveries are happening?
This is a regular basis for the last 10 years. This man initially thought that it was just a mess up. Like that just for some reason this pizza place was just delivering, you know, pizza to the wrong house. But this has continued for the last 10 years.
The last 10 years?
Mm-hmm. It's a strange thing to be tormented by.
Yeah, so he can't sleep?
He calls it pizza terror, yeah.
Pizza terror.
Come night and day, he says.
Well, is it the same place?
He said in January 2019, the pizza demic reached a peak when 10 delivery drivers were called to his home, one bearing 14 pizzas.
But here's what I don't understand. Is it the same place that delivers the pizzas to him? Like, how many places are there? Couldn't he reach out and say, I don't order pizzas. If you get my address, do not deliver to me?
Yeah, I'm sure he can, but I don't think it's the only pizza place. It's just pizza. He also gets kebabs occasionally as well.
Kebabs. This guy wants no part of home delivery.
None. He's all set.
That's a funny story. I'm going to say not Florida.
I'm going to say it did happen in Florida.
Ooh, look at you, Canty. Not taking Dave's lead. What do you think, Santiago?
So it's not a joke. It's actually like some sort of malfunction or something. He's not being purposely tormented.
No, he's being purposely tormented.
So someone is calling up and saying like, all right, send three pies to the Smith house on.
Yeah, and they have no idea who it is.
Okay, so that makes it
it's on purpose. Okay.
What a miserable and deviant and brilliant human being that guy is, huh?
See, I really want to say Florida, but you throwing in that kebabs there makes me think, could this be in a foreign country? Because I don't know any delivery thing that does kebabs. So
and he just threw that, and that was a throwaway line.
Had he not said
that. If you were thinking
that.
Florida and kebabs leads you to another country, I mean, you may have won the game.
No, stop
doing it.
Yeah. I mean, who delivers kebabs, though?
That's a great question.
Greek.
It's not like
Greek.
You can't get a kebab here.
Where?
Yeah, Greek delivery.
What do you mean, where?
You get anything delivered now.
I can get a kebab in 4 minutes.
I'm going to say outside of the country just because he said kebab. I'm sticking by this.
Wow. I can't believe the kebab makes you think that there's no way it could be in this country, though.
If he hadn't said kebab, I probably would have gone with Florida.
All right.
Santiago, give me the winning ding. Ding me up. Give me a ding. Santiago wins the game. Kebab led him to a different country. He's 100% right. That was Belgium.
Wow.
Belgium.
Never would have guessed Belgium. Belgium would not have been that country.
That's a bad guy. 10 years. This poor guy can't sleep. He keeps delivering pizzas.
He's got a lot of money behind keeping this guy going, though, doesn't he?
No, he's not paying
for it. No one pays
for him. He's not paying for them. He's just ordering them. Like when you're a kid in high school.
It's unbelievable. I mean, give this guy credit. I mean,
this is a guy. Let's be fair here, Chris. This is a guy that is committed to the cause. He will call the pizza place for 10 years and have deliveries nonstop. It's devious, but it's somewhat brilliant.
It is kind of brilliant, though. It is. It is. Because the guy that's going to the door, the guy that he's pulling a prank on is going to be upset, and the pizza guy is going to be upset because he's not getting paid.
That's right. I wonder if just once he's like, all right, give me a pepperoni.
He just breaks down. Like,
fine.
I can't take it anymore.
Don't tell anybody about this. Just give me the one pepperoni. Here's 20 bucks. Now get out of here.
I didn't order it, but I love pepperoni. I'll eat it.
Right. I can't take it anymore. And do you have a kebab in there?
Yeah, seriously, the kebab. All right, here, last one. Antonio Brown, who's been on observations quite a bit. He's starting to clean up some of his off-the-field stuff. Got 2 years probation and 100 hours of community service after pleading no contest to the various charges related to the – you guys remember the moving truck incident?
Sure. Mm-hmm.
Question to you guys is this, not if he's a knob, because we know he's a knob. Will he get a job in the NFL this season?
Oh, boy. I'm so torn. I say yes, he gets a job this season. I'm 51-49, Chris, but I'd say yes, 51-49.
I guess I want to lean toward him getting a job, and I know Deion Sanders is trying to advocate for him now, and he's apparently trying to clean up his act a little bit, but he's still Antonio Brown. This is still the guy that went scorched earth out of Pittsburgh and out of Oakland. I mean, maybe he gets another job, but I just don't trust him to do right. So I'll lean toward he gets another job, but I don't have any conviction either.
To me, there's only one place he can go, and that's Rick's favorite team right now.
Oh, God.
That's the only place he can go.
Oh, God. That would be, if he went to the Jets?
Oh, not the Jets. His team that he loves to cover in the NFC South.
Oh, Tampa?
Yes.
Well, yeah, but I'd almost say they don't need him.
But if Brady wanted it, do you think it would be done?
Yes.
There you go.
I would agree with that.
Tom does like him. Well, you know he's not going to New England, and you know he's not going to Oakland or Vegas, and you know he's not going to Pittsburgh. He's got 29 left to peruse. Wow. We're going to hand it over to Bart and Han in just a couple of moments. They're going to take you from 1 to 3. That's when the K-Show tags in. 3 to 7 into Carlin. Now, listen up here. Carlin's going to be on a little different time tonight. 7 to 9. You say why, and it's a good question. 9 o'clock tonight, hosted by our very own Mike Greenberg, who was on with us earlier during this show. It's a SportsCenter special. It's going to be on television. It's going to be on radio, on the app, on everything. The return to sports with, I mean, I'll run through the commissioners, Gary Bettman, Kathy Engelbert from the WNBA, Don Garber, MLS, Roger Goodell, NFL, Rob Manfred, baseball. He's going to be on the hot seat, certainly. Adam Silver, with everything going on in his sport, they're all going to join the show, including a bunch of prominent athletes, Calais Campbell, Crystal Dunn from the NWSL, Patrick Kane, Damian Lillard, Andrew Miller, Matt Ryan, Breonna Turner, WNBA, and ABC's chief medical correspondent, Dr. Jennifer Ashton. And then following that, reaction to it with Larry Hardesty from 11 to 1. So it should be a great conversation, and I can't wait to hear what these different commissioners have to say, Rick. I think it's going to be an absolute must-watch and may push your bedtime back to 11 o'clock tonight.
Which is fine. Because there's a bunch of questions that I'm hoping Greeny asks, and I can't wait to hear the answers.
There're going to be a lot of smart people in the room, so I'm interested in hearing all the different perspectives regarding everything that's going on in a return to sports. So I think it's going to be great. Really do.
Yeah, it's going to be must watch. So it's going to be on just again ESPN television, the ESPN app. And we've decided to simulcast it as well right here on 98.7 ESPN from 9 to 11 o'clock. So I'm sure a lot of our show is going to be involving this show tonight. So you're going to want to listen to that and then listen to us, of course, in the morning starting at 9:55.
DiPietro, Catty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.